This episode of the Educated Ignorance Podcast is brought to you by the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. Subscribe to the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network on your favorite podcast platform for the newest episodes of The Data Lab with Professor John Bush and Dennis Mickelson, as well as new episodes every week of Card Subject to Change, our new wrestling podcast with CZ and Nick. And three times a week, releasing episodes on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, the Educated Ignorance Podcast. On Mondays, you will get full breakdowns of the Sunday night football game, as well as a couple quick-hitting topics from some of the NFL action on Sunday. Tuesday will be a quick-hitting reaction of the Monday night football game, as well as a full slate review of the Sunday games, the biggest and broadest topics from the weekend of football, as well as some college football stuff. And, of course, that Tuesday will be the Elite Eight episode each week for the NFL season, where we reveal the top eight teams, according to myself, in the NFL. And then on Friday, we will be releasing each week a big kind of preview for the weekend's games coming up, as well as the Sinister Six podcast every week with Mac Fulton. He will be joining us every week for the Sinister Six, joint venture of NFL games and college games throughout the year. Our best six picks of the weeks. We will also have some betting stuff in there as well, against the spread, over unders, things like that. So stay tuned for those three episodes a week of the Educated Ignorance Podcast here on the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network. All right, it is part two of the NBA over-unders extravaganza. This is going to drop on Wednesday this week, so we'll be behind the eight ball a little bit with the NBA season, but you can't upload too many podcast episodes in one day, Danny. We are back. We are ready for the Eastern Conference. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. Yeah, and you're right. You can't have too many podcasts coming out at one time.
But we will have both parts of this come out on Wednesday.
We got a warehouse full on layaway right now.
There's a lot in the chamber. All right, let's get into it. We made a lot of predictions that I think are going to be good during the Western Conference side. Let's get into the East. We're going to start in the Atlantic. I think this is the best division in basketball. I know you don't really ever break down the NBA by divisions like you do that college ball with conferences or the NFL with divisions especially. But when you just look at the teams, I think there's no better five-team group in the NBA. You have Boston, Brooklyn, Philly, Toronto, and the Knicks. I think that's pretty damn good. And it could produce five teams. That could be half the playoffs of the 10 teams that make the playoffs in the play-in. There's a chance that half of the East comes out of this division.
It always blows my mind that Atlanta is not in the Atlantic.
I mean, they're not in the Atlantic. They're by the Atlantic.
I mean, no team is in the ocean.
They can be if they try hard enough,
I guess.
I'm just saying. You ever go on a cruise, bro?
I don't think you can move land. Like, let's relocate.
Teams relocate. Expansion?
Yeah. Not on water.
Could you imagine?
They look like Kirby and your Twitter profile.
Could you imagine? Like, we're playing water polo.
Now here's an island.
Yeah, now here's a body of land. All right, let's start off with the defending Eastern Conference champions, the Boston Celtics. We mentioned last year they were in the finals, lost in six. Crazy how close they really were to winning it. They were up about six or seven with 6 minutes left, and then it went tits up from that point on, and they never really controlled the rest of the series. Moments away from being up 3-1 in a game they were controlling, and then they lost it, and from there they never seemed to rally. They have the single highest win total in the league, 53.5. They also are the odds-on favorites to win the championship. It's not a crazy overwhelming number, but they're plus 550. The second closest is, I believe the team we'll get to here in a bit, is the Bucks. We'll get to them. They're set plus 700. So they have a pretty good gap when it comes to winning the title. They're plus 270 to win the East, plus 140 to win the division, plus 600 to make the play-in, minus 4,500 just to make the playoffs, even value on the over and the under. When you look at their additions to this team, I really like what they did when it comes to filling the margins. Some of the stuff they did in last year was some of the issues they had. They didn't really have a true ball handler, and they didn't have depth. They went out and acquired some. Malcolm Brogdon, I thought, was a fantastic trade. I was worried when it was first happening that they were going to have to get rid of Marcus Smart to do it. They pretty much just got rid of all of their role guys that never saw the floor. They also went out and got Danilo Gallinari. That was great until he blew his knee out in the FIBA World Championships, and now we really have no idea when he's coming back. I thought that was a fantastic move. Now we're just kind of wondering. Additional guy that they didn't actually get, but he was on their roster and they expect him to make the leap, is Sam Hauser. Expect him to be kind of a depth three-point shooter. And then J.D. Davison, they drafted him in the second round, the freshman from Alabama. They lose. Two of their role players they lose were Tice and Nesmith. I think this is still going to be a really good team. I think they have a top 10 player. I think they back that up with another guy who's somewhere between 20 and 30 in the league at worst. And they're still going to be a great defensive team. Obviously, the loss of Ime Udoka is going to be weird for them, but I think they're going to be able to carry the structure and still be really good. Do I think they're worthy of having being the title favorites and the highest win total? Yes and no, but it's hard. It's hard for me to kind of land on one. Where do you feel? You would think the next step for them is win the title, so it would make sense, but then you kind of have the few things that go wrong with the Ime situation. You lose Gallo now, and you don't know when he's going to come back. That makes the waters a little choppy, right?
Yeah, I think they're a really good team, man, but I'm kind of with you. I don't know if they're worthy of having the highest win total.
Exactly.
Though 53 is not crazy. I feel like that should be about where it's at, but you know, I'm almost surprised there's not a team higher than that.
It usually when they set these over-unders, they never try to get too crazy unrealistic because they don't want people to not bet on them or to just slam unders.
Right.
So I think that so this is kind of always normally how it is. But I think it also speaks to the depth of the league. I mean, we've got at least two-thirds of the league that we feel are worthy of at least making the playoffs.
Right.
And we all like.
I mean, if you're not tanking, you're pretty much a playoff team.
Yeah, and I don't think there's going to be too many of those early. I think it'll kind of falter off as we get further through the season. But early on, yeah. But for this for Boston, I do like them a lot. I'm going to go under, mainly because I don't know. There's just other teams that I like more than them regular season-wise. And I love what they have. I love Jason Tatum. I loved his ascension. He's still great. I think he's only going to continue to get better. The only thing that bugs me is, what if Chris Middleton doesn't get hurt? How long does it take for the Bucks to beat them? Because it took everything they had for them to beat the Bucks without Middleton. And they struggled with the Heat. Now, I do think adding the wing depth, hopefully you can at least get Gallo back for the playoffs. If not, maybe you can find another way. You can hunt a buyout guy. You can hunt a cheap trade. I know he's not a wing, but another ball-handling shooter in Jordan Clarkson, maybe he's the kind of guy you go after. I feel like those additions are definitely going to help them for the playoffs.
I'd feel bad for Clarkson. He'd go from he's just one racist team to the other.
Yeah.
Just like that.
One Danny Ainge-led team to the older one. My under on them is based on principle. Plus, there's other teams. There's another team in this division that I like for the one seed. And there's another team in the East that I think should have higher title odds than them, obviously. We'll get to them later. So what do you take on their win total?
I think I'll take the over, man. I think 53 is not too crazy. I will say this, though. I think, like you said, that they were obviously made the finals last year and even got some games on the Warriors. But I think they're not going to be trying to win a lot of games in the regular season, so I could be wrong.
It's crazy. It's not crazy to think that they were two wins away from the title, but I mean, it was right there for them, and it would have felt. I don't think it would have felt like they stole a championship, but it would have felt. It would have been like, holy shit, this is. I don't know if it's ahead of schedule, but it would have been pretty impressive considering what they did go through to have to beat the Bucks and then the Heat in seven, and then they were inches away from being up 3-1, man.
I wouldn't say they're ahead of schedule because you got to remember, what was that, 2018?
Yeah, when they got there, when Kyrie was hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, and then 2020, they made the bubble finals, or the conference finals in the bubble.
Is Jason Tatum still 19?
He's only 25.
Okay.
It's incredible, man.
I thought he had a leap year birthday. That's what I thought it was.
If only. I will say this about Tatum. I'm glad no one overreacted to the bad finals performances. Bad finals performance. First finals at under 25 usually goes rough for guys. And I think what he did to carry them to that, the game six in Milwaukee, like that is forever legendary. That is your moment. The game, a couple games he had in the Miami series. I do think there was some sort of injury bugging him. I'm shocked it never kind of came out as to what it was. That shoulder thing he had, it was really weird. And he did kind of just get, it was more, and I mean, another thing too in the playoffs, he outplayed Kevin Durant in a sweep. That matters, and we're about to speak on that Brooklyn team in a moment. So yeah, I think Boston's still going to be really good. I think they're one of the four best teams in the East, but I need to see them kind of come together, maybe still make another move, especially with Gallo out.
I really like that they got Brogdon. I think that was one of the best pickups this offseason. That's almost a perfect fit, man. Like, if you're designing the puzzle, that's almost the last piece you'd put in there.
And it fits everything for them. Need of a ball handler. He's more of a true point guard. He's also a really good defender. It fits everything that they do. Everything that they do. And all of that, if you add that, continue with the growth of Marcus Smart. Because Marcus Smart was fantastic last year. Winning DPOY, the important stretches and improvements to his game that he made. Jaylen Brown, I think the next step for him is to continue to be a trustworthy go-to option to take relief off of Tatum. But I will say this, Brown was pretty impressive in the finals.
Yeah, man, I like JB a lot. I think he's a really good two-way player. And I think, I know Tatum's better, but I don't think the gap's that crazy.
No.
But then again, I'm not as high on Tatum as a lot of people are.
No, I do think, though, when you have the kind of run Tatum had, what he went through, I mean, that's cement. If that would have capped off with winning the title and possibly being finals MVP, then I feel like that's just the rules. You got to put him at least close to the top five.
Right.
Or in the top five at his age. That's why I was so high on him, because it was a turn-the-corner moment, all of those things. All right, let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Bill Simmons said the funniest thing ever. Their win total is at, it was at 50.5. It has now moved up to 150. It is up to 51.5. There is juice on if you take the over, if you have the balls. There's negative odds on the under. Plus 750 to win the title. They have the fourth best odds. Plus 350 to win the East. 220 to win the division. They obviously last year get swept by Boston in round one. All games were close. People love to kind of lean back on that. I feel like if you lean back on that, I think that's kind of a massive overreach. I don't think this team is necessarily bad. There are a lot of scenarios on how this team plays out. There are a lot of ways that this puzzle gets put together.
I think they have the widest spectrum.
Easily. They have the widest pendulum swing in the entire league. It can be all roses and blossoms and they win it all, or it could end up in the fucking Titanic ship sinking and they go 41-41 and everyone's gone and they miss the playoffs entirely. They add TJ Warren and Royce O'Neal, which at the time when they got him, it was like, this is weird. But if you actually add it to what they have, it's not bad. The one thing they didn't have was wings, and those two guys are guys that can play the wing and defend. The only shitty part about that is TJ Warren hasn't really played since the bubble, so we need to figure out if that's good or not.
Back when he was disguised as God.
He was going off in the bubble, man. They lose Andre Drummond, though that's not really a really big loss. They lose Goran Dragic, which is a solid loss, and they also lose Bruce Brown, which we both really like, and he's on Denver. Listen, man, there's so many weird things with this Nets team. the Kyrie Irving discourse, the what do we know about Ben Simmons?
Katie wanting everybody fired.
Katie wanting everybody fired, and now they're there, and it's like we just got to act like the whole that whole shebang didn't happen. Also, is Durant tailing off? I don't think so, but man, that playoff series wasn't good. At the end of the day, it's hard for I go under because it's like if you had to put on 1 to 10, if you only had to pick 10 scenarios likely to happen for the Nets when there's probably 1,000, there are more bad scenarios out of the 10 than there are good. So that's why I'm taking the over. Bill Simmons said it best. Anyone who bets on this over or under actual real dollars should check themselves into Gamblers Anonymous, which I agree with.
Wait, you said you are taking the over?
I'm taking the under.
Okay.
Because I think out of all of the scenarios, I think that there are more likely to play the bad ones. So that's why I'm taking the under. But I think it's not like would I be shocked if everyone was locked in and all of a sudden that they, you know, win 58 games and were the one seed? No, I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't see it happening.
Well, I think they're going to have a lot of reason to be locked in, especially their big three. I mean, they all have specific reasons of why they need to be really focused. I think KD's going to come back with the vengeance because everybody's been talking shit about him this offseason. I think us being farther away from the pandemic, I think that's going to be good for Kyrie. And I think Ben Simmons is going to be happy to play basketball again. And at the end of the day, I got to support my guy Steve Nash.
Yeah, that is fair. So you're going over.
That is my father figure.
That it is. So Danny on the over. Two disagreements already. I like it. Okay, here's the thing that I wonder about, like, the Nets. It's kind of like, all right, what if Ben Simmons... I don't know if he's cooked, because when he's actually out there, I still think he can be easily one of the 30 best players in the league, probably the 20th, because he's one of the best defenders in the league, and when he's actually going at his rhythm. Like, the regular season of the 2021 season, the regular season from a couple years ago, when they ended up as the one seed in the East, and then he kind of just massively gaffed in the playoffs.
I will say this, he's going to have way more spacing than he's ever had before.
That is correct. I'm interested to see how that looks. That year, he was really good, and he was an All-NBA-er, and he should have been. I think I'm honestly less worried about that than Kyrie, because here's the thing people don't get. What has Kyrie been, like, what have you been able to guarantee with Kyrie since he hasn't played for LeBron, like with LeBron James? The thing people keep trying to say is, oh, this is Kyrie's contract year. He had a contract year in Boston and fucking shit the bed. He was awful.
Right.
So, like, the stuff with Kyrie, is that going to motivate him? Is all of a sudden he going to come and play 60 games and be locked in? That's the stuff that I don't get. And I like him. I like him a lot. But I think people are just extremely unrealistic with why. Because I get what you're saying about they have reasons to be locked in. And I'm honestly more, I feel better about Ben Simmons than I do Kyrie, because I think the Ben Simmons stuff is just easy. You got to be play. You got to have your mind right. And I would hope that now you're in, like, a good situation.
I've seen this the other day online. It said Ben Simmons was excited to go back to Philly. I think that says a lot.
I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle for him, because you know he's going to walk in there and they're going to fuck him, rip him to shreds.
Right.
And I think once he gets over that hurdle, I think he'll be fine mentally. That'll be the biggest thing for him. Once he gets past that, then he can...
You think that'll be the boiling point?
Like, if you get past that and you could stay together after that, like, and keep your head right after that, then you can get through anything, honestly. Speaking of Philly, Danny Peel?
Yes, sir.
The Philadelphia 76ers, over under to 50.5. They lost last year in round 2 to Miami. They're plus 1,800 to win the title, 700 to win the East. More on that in a moment. Plus 260 to win the division, 330 for the play-in, minus 1,050 for the playoffs. I think this team did a fucking fantastic job in the offseason. And they didn't get the biggest names, but I think they did a really good job to fill out the roster. Because, Danny, what's been the biggest problem with them over the last year or two? Their depth has been atrocious, man.
Right.
It's been so bad. Their seventh man has been frickin' Korkmaz. It's made me want to kill myself. Because you know me, I'm a Philadelphia 76ers supporter.
Yeah, you love that boy Embiid.
I do. They went out and got PJ Tucker. Now, the 3 years, not good. But for what you need today and for this year, which year by year, that's what matters, fantastic. He still got the juice. The DeAnthony Melton move, I love. They've never had really good guard depth, and I think that's a fantastic, fantastic move to get him, who's a guy you know can bring it, you know can run a second unit if you got guys sitting, and you know he can bring it in a playoff series because we saw it last year in Memphis.
Yeah, he's not afraid to score, man. He's good at it.
And they go out and get Daniel House, who is just a guy that you can – another shooter, which is what they need. They lose Danny Green. They lose DeAndre Jordan. Thank God they lose DeAndre Jordan because fucking Doc Rivers kept playing him last year, and he's terrible. He's one of the worst players in the league. Danny, I'll let you go first. What are your thoughts on Philadelphia?
I feel like 15.5, I feel like that's about where it's supposed to be. I'm kind of really excited for this Philly team, and I haven't been excited for them for a while. I'm excited to see Skinny Harden. I think he's got a lot to prove as well. I think the emergence of Tyrese Maxey, I think, is going to be something else. We talk about big threes all the time. I think Philly's got one of the best ones.
And Maxey is continuing to get better. The Harden thing, yeah, you mentioned the motivation and whatnot. He is definitely – I think the biggest thing for him, he really stretched his limit when he played injured in that Nets-Bucks series. Because you got to remember – what was his calling card in Houston before he got traded to the Nets?
Being the guy.
He was fucking Iron. Well, not that. He was not Iron Man. He never missed a game. He had the one of the longest streaks in history, I believe, of consecutive games played. And then that hamstring injury he got in that Bucks series, and then he playing on it afterwards so quick, I think really messed him up. And hopefully, he is recovered from that. Now, is just because that's the thing now, is that going to take away? Is that going to help him improve in the playoffs? I don't know, but I will say this. We did see for a round when he wasn't the number one guy, when he was in Brooklyn when they played Boston 2 years ago. People forget how good his numbers were with the Nets when that trade happened. He was awesome, near triple-double. He never was able to get into a rhythm last year because I think he was still not in the right. Hammies are tough, man, and the fact that he played through that I think is a huge deal, and hopefully now it's recovered. And I feel like people forget, as the number two, number three option on that Nets team against the Celtics before he got hurt in 2021, he was amazing.
Yeah, he was balling. I would say he was the third option, too.
More on that team, more or less.
Yeah.
And now, you put him on this team. We saw how good he was for the stretch when he first got traded to Philly, and he was playing with that kind of extra pep in his step. They don't need him to be a... They don't need him to be what he was, but I think he can come to that level close with the numbers maybe dumbed down.
I mean, anytime you have a team that can run the best pick and roll in the league, I feel like.
Exactly.
Especially where we're at now. I will say this about Harden, too. This is his first full season there, so I feel like he's going to be more relaxed because he accumulated more store credit at strip clubs in Philadelphia.
Him and Meek Miller tight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tight with love there.
He's tight with a lot of rappers, man. I know he's...
him and Lil Baby, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. that's fantastic.
I don't know what that's in-store credit gets you at strip clubs, but...
That's a bar. Listen, man.
Do you think Harden eats at strip clubs, or do you think he's not the type?
I bet he does.
You think so?
Yeah, why not? Kill two birds with one stone, man.
I don't know.
When you're an NBA player, why are we going to judge you?
I seen this meme the other day. It was like a guy was eating, and he was like, his food was on stage, and he looked to his left, and there was just some cheek spread.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if that's what I want to look at.
You just don't. You'd lose your appetite, right?
I don't know if I want to see where beef comes from
while
I'm eating beef.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you did that. I said that. I was setting up this great line I was going to drop. How I don't know if I said the Nuggets would have the best record in the league or just the West, but I think the Sixers are going to be the one seed in the East.
Yeah?
I think they're going to be really good.
I like it.
And I'm going over heavy. I think Embiid is going to... If I had to bet on someone to win MVP, I think it's going to be Embiid. He was so close. He would have won it in 2021 if he didn't get hurt.
I was going to say he's been. How many second places does he have? Two straight
to Jokic. But one of them he got hurt in the middle of 2021. So he never was able to really recover for just games played. when they got the one seed. That was his, and he couldn't capitalize on it. And last year, he went blow for blow. I remember when Blake and I did our little award show at the end of the year, and we just pulled up like the last 20 games for Embiid and Jokic, and they both were just stupid. So, like, if you ever gave it to either one, but I think Embiid, this is the year he cashes in on the MVP. I think, hopefully, if he has numbers like that again, it's undeniable. But I'm going over. I'm feeling it big time. I think this team's going to be awesome. What do you think?
I think I'm going over too, man. I think, like you said, this is one of the best divisions in all of basketball. So I think that's why I'm hammering the over.
Next up is a team that a lot of people that are dug in are starting to fall in love with. It is the Toronto Raptors.
They're changing the game, man.
They also...
They're zigging while everyone else is zagging.
They went out and got... Or they went out and... they lost last year in round one. We mentioned that. Their over-under total is 46.5, plus 110 to each side. Or minus 110 to each side. Plus 4,000 to win the title. 2,100 to win the East. 850 to win the division. Put a pin in those. They don't really lose anybody, but they do add Otto Porter, another wing, another depth guy, a shooter that is good. This Raptors team, I think, for their ceiling in the East, hinges on how Scotty Barnes develops, and I think he's really good.
He's really good, man.
I think he's already a top 50 player. I think he really, really gets it because he's a top 50 player alone on his defensive ability. He is a future perennial all-defensive guy, and I love how this team improved. When you think about it, I mean, there were people saying last year, Danny, in the summer, or like late 2022 or late 2021, early parts of 2023, Pascal Siakam had one of the worst contracts in the league, and then for the final two-thirds of the season, he was one of the 20 best guys in the league, made an All-NBA team. Fred VanVleet was an All-Star last year. They have guys I really, really like, and it's a weird-built team, but they know what they are. The one thing that I was upset with is I really felt like Memphis – they had a kind of a 4-for-1, 3-for-1 kind of opportunity to go out and get a guy. Maybe they can do something like that for the next dude who comes open. Maybe, like, imagine, I know, and hey, he's from there, but could you imagine Shai Gilgeous on this team? That'd be something.
That's the hot take now. Shout out Drizzy.
Like, that would be really good, considering they don't really have many guards, and he would just be fantastic for what they do.
I don't think they want to have a lot of guards, though. I don't think that's what they're building over there.
No, it's not.
They are the prototype of everybody's going to be 6'9 and be able to guard everybody.
This team can work and win at a high level. They can win at a higher level and be a title contender, I think, if Barnes can kind of transcend into a super-duper star type of guy. Because I think Siakam is what is becoming... He's obviously improved to be one of those dudes. From, you know, he's somewhere from 15 to 25 when you look at a top 50 list.
I know he said he strives to be a top 5 player in the league, and I don't think that's going to be doable, but I like the confidence.
He's good, but he is making all of those adjustments.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the best well-rounded players we got.
Exactly. And Fred VanVleet, I mean, hey, I hope whenever I have kids, I hope I'm as good after my baby is born at what I do as Fred VanVleet was and has been since.
What did you call him? I forgot.
What?
What's your nickname you gave him?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I mean...
Fred Dadbod.
I call him, yeah, Fred Van Dadbod, yeah. Fred VanVleet, FVV, the greatest post-conception athlete of all time. I'm just saying, man.
Yeah?
I'm just saying.
I wonder what the stats are for that.
I'm not sure. Very, very interesting. So the 46.5, I would probably lean over. We'll get to that in a sec. But there's a lot to love with this team. What do you feel like the ceiling is for this team? A lot of people believe that they could flirt with the one seed in the East.
Really?
People believe that that's a possibility. I think that does hinge on, you know, where, you know, Barnes can translate to if Siakam can keep it up. Because here's the thing. They started off slow last year, and then you got to think about the tear they went on to end the season.
Right.
To get up to the 5 seed. So... That is, I can understand where that comes from, to a degree. why people think they could be a top three seed and win this division.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough, man. This is going to be one of the toughest divisions. I like them. What is it at?
46.5.
Whew. That's a pretty good spot, I'd say.
I'm going to lean slight over because I already have two unders in the division. But I'm going to lean slight over.
I feel like that. If we're doing it like that, then I might have to go under.
Yeah, you already
yeah,
had.
Yeah, I'm at three over so far.
At some point, you got to just kind of logic it up, right?
Yeah, somebody's got to lose.
That's fair. That is fair. Poor Toronto. Poor Dick Nurse.
I don't want to do that, though, man, because I really like this team.
But, hey, 46 wins, cashes, and that's still pretty good. That's still good for at least sixth or seventh in the East.
Yeah. I feel like Toronto's one of those teams where not they don't really care who is, quote-unquote, the guy, and they're just going to have a bunch of guys that could average around between 15 to 18 points in their starting lineup, and everybody be cool with it.
And they're going to be one of the best defenses in the league. And
of course, man.
Everybody's going to be able to get shine.
That's what they hang their hat on, is that defense.
Mm-hmm. That they do. All right, and lastly in this division, and then we're going to take a quick break, the New York Knicks. They missed the playoffs last year, of course. 38.5 on their over-under total. They are they're +125 to make the play-in, +220 to make the playoffs, which I think those are pretty solid odds, especially if you want to bet on them making the play-in. They add Jalen Brunson. That's the biggest thing this in the offseason for them. They hold off on doing the Donovan Mitchell deal, which I think was the right move. I believe that was the correct move because
they were trying to get fleeced. Or Utah was trying to fleece them.
Yeah, because I think they would have had to get rid of R.J. Barrett, and I feel like that would have kind of killed anything that would have been good.
Yeah, whatever they got going.
They also get a nice role player in Hartenstein from the Clippers. He comes over. This Knicks team is going to be very interesting. I think they're going to be really feisty, and I think they're going to be improved. I lean over slightly. And I think I would probably be shocked because this team isn't going to be trying to tank and be bad. And I think R.J. Barrett is making very vast improvements. Like, he's on a path to be an All-NBA player. Another Duke guy on that team who I thought was on that trajectory. Yeah, not so much. He's really bad and might be cooked. Cam Reddish. I'm out on Cam Reddish. Oh, woe is me. We all have our misses. But I needed to just kind of get that in there.
Yeah, I know.
Overall,
did pay me $20 after all.
I did. You got to think Julius Randle is going to improve. You have to think, right?
We can't keep going backwards.
The Jalen Brunson signing, I do like it. And I think that it is a good... The only issue is, like, he can't be your best player. I do, though, believe, in a perfect world, obviously he isn't. But I think this year he might not be their best player because I think their best player is R.J. Barrett. He's really good, man.
I'd have to say, especially if Randle's going to struggle like he did last year. But I think R.J. Barrett, I think he could even get an all-defensive team consideration.
He's tough, man. I love his game. Love his game. The improvements that he's made are vast. Where do you feel like – would you be shocked if they may miss the play-in? Do you expect them to maybe break out and get to the sixth seed? Or do you think that's way too lofty expectations?
They're probably the biggest question mark to me, man, because at the end of the day, it's still the Knicks, though they did get Brunson and stuff like that. The Randle thing is confusing, man, because, you know, you sit on the hood of a car and what, you just forget how to play ball?
He was a MVP candidate 2 years ago.
That might be a stretch, but he was really good.
He was a first-teamer, I believe. He finished first-team All-NBA or second-team at worst. I made the joke, like, he should win MVP. He's the best player on a team that's, like, the most improved team in the league. He was awesome.
Right.
2 years ago, post-COVID. It makes no sense how bad he was last year. Maybe getting Brunson will help. They'll be able to do some stuff and get creative. Maybe there's actually a Tom Thibodeau wear factor on this, and maybe they're just bad, and they need to get him out of there. I don't know.
If there is a New York-style brand of ball, it's Jalen Brunson, man. The little guy goes to the hole with some soul.
The daddy does. He's very tough. All right, what do you got over-under on him? 38.5.
I feel like 38's not too high, so I'll take the over.
Okay, we both go over here. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll have the Southeast Division next. In addition to bringing fire on the mic, the team at 4 Frequency Sake is still bringing it online as well. Check out 4FantasySakeQC.com this season for College DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each and every week of this football season. Again, that is for fantasy sake, QC.com for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each week during the football season. All right, it is time for Tank Division. It is the Southeast. We start with the Miami Heat. Danny, do you believe the sentence? Do you still feel like the sentence of the Miami Heat were one made Jimmy Butler three-pointer away from being four wins away from an NBA championship? Does that sound real to you, or do you think it's fake?
It was real.
It was, but how does it sound?
I can't believe Jimmy did it, though, man.
What a guy.
Yeah, he put the team on his back.
Yeah. Of course, they lost to seven in Boston. That game six, talk about memorable, man. In Boston, down 3-2. That performance is all-time. All-time shit, man.
We were talking the other day off-air. He's got a couple of the best finals games of all time. That guy's a high-level performer in the playoffs, man.
And the
playoff Yemi is a totally different guy.
And then the knock on him before this year, or this last year, was he could never put back-to-back games together. And this whole postseason last year, he was just, insane.
Well, he had to be.
Yeah, they had nothing else. Do you call him Yemi now because of the dreads?
No.
And it's a hippie thing?
It could be. I didn't view it like that.
All right. 49.5 is the win total for them, plus 1,800 to win the title. They are eighth at best, plus 900 to win the East. They were the one seed last year in the East. They don't really add anything. They did draft Nikola Jovic, the Slovenian, who's got a lot of skill, and I've heard a lot of good things about him in preseason. They do get Victory sign, and then they did lose PJ Tucker in the offseason.
I feel like everybody's lost PJ Tucker at one point.
That is true. Even China. Even China lost him.
That's true.
I want to say this team's going to be good. I want to say this team's going to be great. But, man, there are so many variables on this team, and Kyle Lowry very well may be cooked. Where do they have scoring depth? Is the Tyler Hero contract actually bad? Bam is great. We know that. And Jimmy, obviously, is awesome. But outside of that, man, there's just way too many negatives and positives at the moment for me to feel confident. Maybe Vic can... Vic did improve, and Vic showed that he was good last year when they needed him. Can he get more consistent? I don't know.
He had some random spurts, man, where that boy was balling out again.
And my biggest thing that I told Blake about, too, was like that's all they needed him to do. Mm-hmm. They didn't need him to be that every night. They just needed every fourth or fifth game for him to have a really good night.
Just be a spark plug sometimes.
Exactly, and I felt like that was their path to win a title, and they almost did it. I'm really concerned about Lowry, man. You know I love him. And I love that he's on this team, but he's big and out of shape and hurt. I don't know. There's a world that exists that Toronto took them to town on that trade because they got Precious, and Precious is really good as a role guy. And Lowry, it's a very weird world we live in with him right now because the contract.
I was really hyped when they signed him.
Me too.
Yeah, I felt like that was going to be a perfect fit for him.
And it works, but, like, how much does he have left? Yeah. How much does he have left to give is where I'm at. Where are you at on these guys, my man?
I'm kind of concerned about Hero, man, because he signed that deal, and usually I don't like to say anything bad about the guy or anything like that, but hopefully he's not one of the guys who gets the bag and then falls off. I feel like he's really concerned about his rep, and I feel like he kind of established himself when he's sixth man, so I don't know how much hunger he's got in his belly anymore. I don't know if he's going to be out in South B. He's over 21 now, so he can go out to the clubs and stuff. I'm sure he was anyway. It's Tyler Hero, after all.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be bagging too many Instagram girls and being in too many Jack Harlow videos.
Who's gonna deny that jawline?
Yeah, that's true.
And three buttons buttoned down on the Miami shirt. With pink and black Vice-looking colors on it. Who's going to deny that club entrance? Who's gonna say no to him getting in at Tussies?
Hey, three buttons down is tough, man, but when you don't have any chest hair,
yeah,
it's even tougher.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
I don't know. I feel like you'd just be glistening.
You think you lotion that watermelon?
Yeah, you put a little bit of baby oil on the chest.
I don't know, man. I haven't not had hair on my chest since I was like 12, so I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. It's different.
You would know.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, how would you handle it? You wouldn't go buttons down? Like, I wouldn't, if I was Tyler Hero, I wouldn't even go buttons down. I would go unbuttoned.
Unbuttoned?
Yeah. I feel like that's your role.
Yeah.
That's your vibe you get. Unbuttoned, the gelled up hair in the front, the shades. Yeah, bro. Shorts that, like, go, like, not even mid-thigh, but, like, quarter-thigh.
I feel like if anybody should have a thigh tat in the NBA, it's Tyler Hero.
Hell yeah. Why is it Jason Tatum? Not that I don't like Tyler Hero, but I love Jason Tatum. Why has he got to be the one to have a fucking thigh tat?
Because he's light-skinned.
Yeah. Shout out to Deuce, by the way. Shout out to Deuce.
I feel like that's tough.
What?
He named his kid a number.
Deuce is a cool name, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to have another kid named Trey.
Yeah, of course he is.
I'm kidding. Fucking Christ. Fuck
he's
me.
He's setting up.
Yeah.
He's setting up.
Or he's going to name him Deuce as well, and he's going to be like, yo, Deuce, with two kids. Did you imagine?
I will say this about the Heat, though. I always laugh when I'm the one who reins us back together.
Yeah. It's like, why?
No.
Talk about unbuttons and baby oil.
I heard Bam really took the hate he was getting in the playoffs for not being too aggressive, that took a toll on him, and he's going to come out firing this year. He's going to be looking to have more of a scoring role. In his mid-range game, underrated.
It is. It is.
And he's one of the only guys in the league that can guard 1 through 5 and be good at it.
He's a freak, man. I love his game. Are you trying to reel me back in? Are you trying to talk me into betting this over? I'm not. I'm going under. But are you trying to reel me back in?
You do what you want, big fella.
I just can't. It's hard. It's hard for me to do it. It's hard. It's hard for me to do it. I want to, but.
Over or under the trade deadline that Jimmy cuts his dreads or takes him out?
I don't know.
I feel like he's not going to have it for long.
No. I don't think so. I think he'll eventually be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Eventually he's going to be like, I can't. Like, you think this he was is taking, so hard to play.
You think he'd on Ayahuasca with
Ayahuasca with A-Rod?
Yeah, with A-Rod.
I don't know. I hope not, because if that apparently, I mean, look what it's doing to the Packers. So I hope that he doesn't do that.
He did go to Marquette.
Rodgers didn't go to Marquette though.
Yeah, but where's it at?
It's in Wisconsin.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
They have
Jimmy's
ties.
Jimmy's a Texas boy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy's not like
so that means he can't take ayahuasca?
It's ayahuasca.
It's whatever you call it, bro.
Jimmy doesn't look like a hallucinogenics kind of guy. He's just a wine drinker.
I know he sells coffee.
And he just sells coffee.
Slinging that pot.
Yeah. The coffee pot?
Yeah.
You're fucking dumb.
What else is it, bro? Where's coffee come from?
Coffee grounds? Beans, bro?
Yeah, but the pie.
Yeah.
Just don't chew it like bubblegum.
Could you imagine?
Degenerate.
Could you imagine?
No.
If we're just out here, like, eating coffee beans like cereal.
Like they're pistachios?
I hate pistachios. Aren't you a pistachio guy?
Oh, yeah, man.
You're an almonds guy. I found that out last night.
Yeah.
Not an almonds guy, just a peanuts guy.
I like my
cashews nut. Are cool.
I like my nuts.
Yeah, you do, don't you say? Power ranking. Can I get a nuts power ranking?
Pistachios, honey roasted almonds, the field.
Really?
Yeah.
Gapped. Okay. I've heard there's like you can do like pistachio pie or something like that. I don't know. I'm serious. I heard something, and I don't know.
You spend too much time on Twitter.
I'm trying to find stuff to, you know, got to make the food, man.
Pistachio pie?
I think it's something like that. I don't know.
You like pecan pie?
I don't.
What?
I don't like pecan pie. Oh, okay. I like pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie?
I'm not a pecan pie guy. I don't like pecans. They don't taste. Some peanut or some nuts, I guess. It's they're like too
crunchy?
No, it's like they're too dry.
Yeah. They need to get out more.
Yeah. So like you eat a pecan pie, and you actually get just a big old chunk of pecan, and the texture and taste just throws it off.
You're a Texas Roadhouse kind of guy. Do you eat the peanuts there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't until we get to the table, bro.
Actually, I don't need them at the table. The only time I'd ever do them is if we're waiting.
See, that's too much salt in my stomach, bro. I need some water.
Yeah, you do need...
I need a beverage.
Yeah. But I also don't really love just mowing down peanuts like that. But the honey roasted, like, peanuts, those are good. I like... You like the almonds. The honey roasted peanuts, I think, are top class.
Do you think if you have a peanut allergy, going into Texas Roadhouse is just, like, walking into the morgue? Like, hey, do you guys take walk-ins here?
I want to know what other allergies are so potent to when you, like, just smelled it. Like, can you smell, like, fish? You have seafood allergy, right?
I will say I can feel, like, my pores kind of, like, flaring up when there is...
Seafood?
Yeah, in the air.
Okay. But people with peanut allergies, they, like, look at peanut butter and their fucking esophagus just...
Right.
Their esophagus becomes the fucking...
I know at school,
bad boy pistons.
I know at the schools, you can't even, if a kid has a peanut allergy, you can't even bring peanuts into the classroom.
No, it's...
Right.
Yeah, it's like forbidden.
I mean, there's different severities of it, obviously, but, you know.
Everyone got to have that EpiPen, bro. Motherfuckers out here be dying and shit.
Could you imagine coming into this world as a nut?
And leaving because of them? Yeah. That's what Kanye said, bro. None of us would be here without cum, bro. If it ain't all about the income, let me see you go ahead and spend some. What a guy. All right, so the Atlanta Hawks are next in this over-under. Over-under 45.5 seems low. Plus 5,000 to win the title. Their best, most interesting odds are plus 145 to win the division, which I like. Minus 210 to make the playoffs, plus 130 to make the play-in. Now, the problem with the Hawks is there are so many good teams in the East, and someone has to be the odd man out. But I think they're better, and I think I'm very interested to see the Trae Young off-ball thing, how that's going to work. What do you expect?
I like it, man. I think that's one of the best fits. I think DeJounte Murray's one of the youngest players to ever make an All-NBA defensive team. I think he's going to fit really well next to Trae. I think Trey's not going to have any problem spotting up for him. And I think Murray's got a well-rounded game, though he's not the best three-point shooter. The man's damn near a walking triple-double.
Murray?
Yeah.
He's really good. He's so good, man. Blake and I had a moment last year when we had an undercover most improved player winner, and we both said it should have been DeJounte.
I like it, man.
He's really good. And I love the move. Our boy Rashad Phillips, shout out to him. He thinks that Trae Young, because playing off ball, is going to win the scoring title this year.
Okay. I like that.
I'm really interested to see how it plays out. There is a world that exists. Now,
I will say this about Trae, too. I think him being off ball, because he's such a ball-dominant, heavy player, I think he's going to be able to give more effort on defense. Though, he can't do a lot on that in the court, but effort goes a long way, especially defensively.
Real quick, I want to get into a broad spectrum about Atlanta. DeAndre Hunter made some strides, especially at the end of the postseason last year. What kind of stuff do you expect him to do? They obviously, when you look at their depth, they did get Mo Harkless, but they lost Gallo, Herter, DeLon Wright. Herter was a guy we both really liked, and he was awesome for them in their conference finals run 2 years ago. DeAndre Hunter, we've been waiting for him to take that next step, and I think he's starting to. What do you expect to see from him this year?
What is this, his third year? Third, fourth?
This is his third year.
His third? That's where a lot of guys make strive, and I think he's got the body, and he's pretty much the prototype of a 3-and-D guy, which is obviously when you have a guy like Trae Young, which is what you want.
Yeah.
So I'm high on Hunter, man. I did learn this the other day, though. Trae Young... Mm-hmm. He's afraid of birds.
Really?
Yeah. Which is ironic because he's on the Hawks.
No shit.
Yeah.
Do you think whenever they do the Hawks, he just fucking, he's like, shit. He like shits himself?
I heard a story back when he was in Oklahoma. Like, there was a bunch of pigeons and his teammates ran through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Trae was too terrified and he like went the other way.
I mean, hey, man.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their thing.
Says he has nightmares.
Everyone's got their thing, man. Everyone's got
so he'll never shake up with, is it Hawkey? Is it Hawkey the Hawk?
He don't kick it with him?
I feel like that's got to be his name.
They ops, bro. There has been a kind of a theme when you have weird outlier teams make the conference finals. You go to like the Marc Gasol, Zebo, Grit and Grind Grizzlies, you know, that was kind of an outlier conference finals run.
The Blazers.
They were my next team. And then this Hawks team. You can say that about the Nuggets, considering they haven't done much since after they made the conference finals in the bubble. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've been fucking decimated with injuries. And we both agree that that's going to change this year. So the Hawks, I think that over them doing that, it maybe oversold what we thought of them going into last year. But this team, I do believe there's improvement there. And who knows, maybe this with DeJounte, another guy like we haven't mentioned, they do have Clint Capella, but I think they're going to eventually move him to a role player status because Okwongwu from USC, this is his third year too, I believe, his third year. He's tough too, man. He's really good. Has a lot of potential.
Another thing I'll say about the Murray-Young combination, this is the same thing we were worried about Chris Paul and Harden, and look how that turned out. Trey's a much better shooter than both of those guys.
Yeah, that he is. That he is. So I'll be interested to see how it works. And you mentioned the defense. You have a guy like DeAndre Hunter, Capella or Okwongwu are both good rim protectors. DeAndre Hunter, or we mentioned him, and DeJounte Murray is an elite defender. So, like, they have...
They got the pieces, man. They got dudes.
They have the pieces. Where are you at? Over, under? I'm going over here. I think they're going to win the division.
I'm going over as well.
So that's why I'm not too worried about like them being out of the play-in, because if you win your division, you're at worst the sixth seed. So I think they're going to win their division, and I think they're going to be the sixth. I think there's a chance Miami falls to the play-in this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think there's a possibility of that. You said over too, right?
Yeah. Miami would not be a team I want to see, though, in the playoffs.
If they were like a 7 seed and you're playing against like a 2, yeah, no, I agree.
That'd be a tough draw.
All right, we're going to clump these next two together because they're really bad. I think these might be two of the worst teams in the league. I absolutely think these are going to be the two worst teams in the East outside of the Pacers, but I think this is going to be way more dark than the Pacers. This is the Hornets and this is the Wizards. Let's start with the Wizards because it's not nearly as grim, but it's just what do they have? Their over-under is 35.5, and I think that's nuts that it's that high. The Bradley Beal thing is very weird. They did get Will Barton okay, but they lose some really good role players. They lose Satoransky. They lose KCP. They lose Thomas Bryant. They lost Ish Smith. They did get the Johnny Davis draft pick already looks like a miss. I tried to warn people when that happened that he would not be good, but hey, what do I know? I don't know shit. He's not going to be a good pro, but congratulations. I think the Wizards are going to be awful. I think they're going to be under. Brad Beal stayed around to get his $250 million. The Wizards gave it to him. I don't know how smart of a move that was. And now he is captain. He is pick number one on the who is the next guy that wants a trade draft, because now that he's got his money, he can absolutely get moved when the time is right. The Wizards are going to be terrible this year.
He sealed his fate, man, but at the end of the day, I think if you get a quarter bill, I don't think you can say it's a bad idea.
I don't know. It's not his fault that the Wizards wanted to pay him that.
Right.
It's not his fault at all. So I'm going under. You can go ahead and give more synopsis about this team than me if you want, by all means.
I think I think I want KCP to – not KCP, I'm drunk – Porzingis.
Yeah.
I think Porzingis can turn it around. I think him doing pick and pops with Beal, I think that's an underrated combo, but it's outside of them.
Kuzma. Kuzma had a pretty solid year last year.
Yeah, Kuzma was balling out, I guess, outside of the three. And anytime you lose that Ish, bro.
Yeah.
You need that Ish to be good.
You need that Ish, dog. They don't have it anymore.
They don't have that Ish.
They don't have that Ish. Oh, man. So you going under two? 35.5, sorry. It's a key number, Danny Peel.
Yeah.
It's like crossing the 6 and the 3 in a football betting line.
They're not good by any stretch. I think they're better than you give them credit for. Because you have them on the unwatchable list, right?
Not quite. We're trading the League Pass blacklist with them for Charlotte.
You don't mean that, bro. We got to watch LaMelo.
It's bad, bro. There's a good chance LaMelo won't play this year.
Yeah.
He was already going to be out for the first month.
I forgot he got hurt.
And James Booknight today just got his fourth DUI in a year, which not like he was a rotation guy anyway, but it's a mess. They've lost everybody.
He's getting his J-Kid on.
I think the Hornets could mess around and be the worst team in the league. Because if they suck, if they're like 2-12 to start the year, what if they just pull the fucking plug on LaMelo and they're just like, all right, screw this. Why?
I don't think LaMelo is the guy you pulled the plug on.
No, I don't think so either. But even if LaMelo comes back, it would take them off the league pass blacklist, but they would absolutely still be terrible because outside of him, they have nothing. The Miles Bridges thing, that was a mess. PJ Washington, I mean,
do you think they're gonna outlaw wife beaters? Everybody's just gotta wear a crew neck or a t-shirt.
Maybe. After the Miles Bridges thing, very well possible.
I'm going under for the Wiz.
Okay.
I'm gonna backtrack.
Okay.
Go ahead and make your little jot.
I'm doing this, man. We gotta keep track of this. I'm hammering the under with the Hornets. I think 34.5 is nuts. I think this team is gonna struggle to win 25 games. I think they're gonna be really, really bad. I think, like, even the Mark Williams draft pick I love, but, like, everything that can go wrong for them has. They fired Parayko to hire the coach they fired 4 years before him in Steve Clifford. It's a mess. It's a big old mess. I'm under on the Hornets. I think they're the second worst team in the East behind the Pacers. The difference is the Pacers chose to be bad. The Hornets tried to do stuff to be good, and they kind of fucked it up. But, hey, if they get Vic and LaMelo, bro, we're back.
Yeah.
We're so back. We're back like we never left.
Well, they never existed. They never did.
The Charlotte Hornets are the, I guess, the worst, the Jags / Browns of the NBA, wouldn't you say? Easily? We've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
They're easily that team.
The Browns have won a title, though, forever ago, right?
I think so, yeah.
When they had Brown himself?
Yeah. The Hornets are the most unsuccessful team in the NBA of our lifetime.
That's true.
And
they didn't sign LiAngelo.
They cut him.
Yeah.
So, hey.
That's tough.
Big tough. You going under, too?
Yeah, I'm going under.
Did I talk you into it?
I mean, they're not that good. I hope they don't get Vic, though.
Really?
No.
Well, you feel like they don't. Would it be a you don't deserve it thing with them?
I care about the guy.
That's fair. That's a hell of a teammate to have, though. LaMelo?
Right.
That's a top 40 guy already, at worst. If you get him.
Yeah.
Could be.
I mean, there's more to that.
Could be worse. He could end up on, like, imagine him in the Wizards. That'd be so grim.
They'd have 2 7-footers, bro. That'd be sweet.
That'd be so. I would hate it. Please don't land in Washington. Literally land on any other team in the league. Like, even if you land on, like, the Spurs, who have nobody, at least, you know, you're with Pop.
Yeah, that's what I want for him.
You know? But I hope he lands on one of the teams that I think are really going to be fun. Okay. Speaking of a team that could be a play-in contender and also be in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes.
I can't believe their win total was so low.
Me too.
Shocking.
Same with another team that I think could be frisky this year in the East. We'll get to them here in the next division. The Orlando Magic. 27.5 is the win total. Only odds that really matter for them, plus 700 to win, make the play-in, if you feel like that's a possibility. Danny Peel, do you want to go first, or do you want the resident Orlando Magic fan that lives in this house to go first?
I'll go first because I know you're going to go off. I got them over, man. I think 27.5 is too low. I think they got a lot of young pieces. I think they're going to be hitting their stride. I think Paolo's a guy, obviously. I think he's got a lot of potential. I think he's going to be gunning for that Rookie of the Year because it matters.
It does.
When you look back.
I know.
There's only one, believe it or not.
There is only one, and you can only win it one time.
Yeah, that's true. There have been times where there's been two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think it was Grant Hill and Jay Kidd.
I mean, hey, if two guys are good enough, man.
I think that's what it was.
That's two Hall of Famers, bro. Yeah. You going to say no to two Hall of Famers?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah, I'm taking the over. Easy. Okay.
I know I had that hot take last week when we did West about I think Keegan Murray is going to win Rookie of the Year. I think that's It's no shot at Paolo. Paolo's awesome. I can't believe they drafted the right guy. First time in my life. First time in my life they drafted the right guy. What do you think I'm going to say?
I mean, they got Dwight.
Okay, that's fair. But does that count? I mean, it counts, but like I didn't mean it that way. Dwight's amazing. I love you, Dwight. But I mean, like that. I said in my lifetime, right? Fine. In the last decade, that they drafted the right guy. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Though, Franz, let me tell you.
Yeah, that was stud. That was a steal.
Okay. 27.5. What do you think I'm feeling, Danny?
You're going over too.
You bet your fucking ass. I'm going over, Danny. This team's awesome. Are they like top six seed worthy now? No. This team has a legit good, like really good starting five. Are they kind of weak at guard? Yes. Am I worried now that Jalen Suggs is hurt? Very, but I don't think it's going to derail them.
It's not like he was balling out last year either.
Cole Anthony's good, but just outside of the, their front court, man.
Well, I mean, when you draft the front court player after front court player, you better have some front court depth.
I know, but like the guys they have,
right?
Franz at the three. I when they got him at first, I was like, what? But dude. He's a dude.
He's a hooper.
He's a guy. Paolo, of course, I don't know if you've seen any of his preseason tape. Danny Peel. We are in, brother. Right? It is. We are talking Melo Jr. mid-post stuff that has me feeling some wet type of way. I'm like, oh, we got it. We found it. And, okay,
you're a Bulls fan.
So I'm going to ask you this. So I want your opinion. Other than the fact that trading for Vooch gave them the ability to be credible enough to re-sign LaVine and go get DeRozan and go get Lonzo, the Magic kind of fleeced the shit out of the Bulls for Vooch, right?
Right.
They get the pick that landed Franz.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendell Carter is he. Who would you rather have right now, Vooch or Wendell Carter?
Yeah, I was thinking this the other day. You got to go Wendell.
It's not close. Mm-hmm. Wendell Carter is awesome and so much younger, much better defender, and he's expanding his game. Listen, are they a legitimate high-level guy still, like, away? Yes. Maybe Paolo is that guy. Like, if Paolo became that guy, which is in the realm of possibility, right. It's not outlandish. Then that is where this team takes the stratosphere leap in the future. Do I think that they're anything higher than like the 9 seed or the 10 seed this year? Probably not, but this team is going to get their feet wet in winning games.
I think this is the year they get their foot in the door. And not only that, I think probably for one of the first times, at least in my memory, they are free agency destination. Because why would you not want to go play with those guys down there?
What, like, there's going to be guards that hit the market. Why wouldn't you want to go play for this team? You know what I mean? I think they're going to be hyper-aggressive. They've made so many right moves. I love the fact that they actually drafted Paolo first. And he fits with this team, man. And they have so many guys that I really, really like. And this team's going to be awesome. This team's going to be fucking awesome to watch.
Yeah, they are going to be fun to watch, man. I'm excited for them, too, and I'm glad you got your fix. You did get your guy.
The one thing that is going to be great for me this year with watching them, especially because we're going to be zoned in on League Pass almost every night, is that this is the one year. Like, in 2 or 3 years, I'm going to have to watch these guys stressed because I'm going to feel like they should be good.
Uh-huh.
So this year is the hall pass, the guilt-free pass.
This is your grace period.
We're just having fun. We don't care how the games go. We're just having a fucking blast watching it happen. I can't wait. I've never felt this way about an NBA team before since I was in junior high school when they almost won a title. This is awesome. About a team I actually care about in the NBA. Yeah, you're right, though. 27.5. I can't believe it's that low.
I'm glad you actually stuck with them.
Yeah, too, right? Yeah, too. There are some dark-ass times. Dark. They're going to be great. God, they're going to be so fun to watch. Paolo. So would you say Paolo? Would you pick Paolo to win Rookie of the Year? Would you have him as your... I know my case kind of was Keegan,
on...
I do like the Keegan one. I wouldn't know if I'd pick him as my favorite, but that's a good answer.
I think Keegan's value, too, or...
I think he fits their system a lot better than a lot of other rookies.
The only thing that worries me about, if you're actually betting on it... So my reasoning for Keegan was more of a value pick. He's going to have much better odds than Paolo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Jabari's going to have the numbers, but I love the Jabari Smith fit much more than I did on draft night. I love the fact that he's already with a guy that is a true number one. We mentioned that with Jalen Green.
Yeah, I don't see Jabari Smith sniffing the rookie of the year.
No.
He won't have the numbers for it.
No. The main thing that I think will help Paolo in the rookie of the year race over Keegan is that best their third option, but he might, I mean, eventually over the year, he could turn into their number one scoring option. He's got that kind of game. Paolo, I think, will definitely be their number one because Franz isn't a scorer. He's an all-around player.
Right.
And Cole Anthony might have the ball in the usage, but I think they're really going to do stuff. Like, just the watching.
His talents.
Oh, just watching tape. Like, they played the Cavs in their last preseason game. It was just... I've never had so much fun watching NBA preseason highlights.
Yeah.
It was great. I was like, this is what people get hype about?
That makes my heart smile, big guy.
Yeah. I was so happy. I was like, they're using this guy. It is awesome. So
yeah, I'd probably take Paolo to win Rookie of the Year. I know that's the easy out. But, yeah, like you said, I think they're going to highlight the scoring potential. And, I mean, obviously, we think they're going to be better than what they're slated for. So that always helps.
You'd think, I mean, the way guys are coming into the league and scoring now, you got to think that 18 a game is in the realm of possibility for him, right?
That's what I would probably set the mark at, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere between 18 and 19 a game. And if he has, like, just a crazy, crazy season, you're in the 20s. But, like, that's the thing. I think Keegan will be something like that. We'll talk about another guy who will be in the Rookie of the Year race here in a moment. So, yeah, that's the Magic. We talked a lot about them. Fuck it. If you're a hater, why are you listening? This is an Orlando Magic podcast now. Give up.
Gross.
We'll take a break. Central Division next. This episode is brought to you by The Corner Tap. Who doesn't need a solid handcuff on their fantasy squad? Grab a bite to eat at Clint's Draft House while watching the noon games. And then head on over across the Moline Rock Island border to the Corner Tap for some libations during the 3 o'clock games. Every Sunday is fun day at the Corner Tap with $3 tall boys, Bloody Marys, Jack Daniels, and $2 PBR drafts. Head into the Corner Tap, 4018 14th Avenue, Rock Island, and get into the end zone.